Good morning, everyone. Happy Sabbath, and greetings to those of you who are watching on the webcast. And thanks for the special music, very upbeat, and on this cold and chilly Sabbath morning. To those of you who are watching from the north or from Canada, it's probably a heat wave for you all. If we look at our society today, we would say that we lack true leadership in a variety of areas. Today, our leaders are more interested in enriching themselves than helping their fellow citizens. Leadership starts with the family. A two-parent family headed by a husband and a wife. A family that has morals and has discipline. And a family consisting of that type of style or lifestyle can produce a well-rounded neighborhood, which leads to a strong city or town, and which also leads to a strong nation, if everyone would obey and live by God's moral standards and principles. Now, some of you may know I grew up on a farm, and many of our neighbors were farmers. And most of the neighbors were families that had three or more children. And when the children became old enough, they helped out on the farm. They were part of the labor force for their family farm. And when they got older, they went into farming or they went in the professional job market. And they were successful, mainly because they had good moral upbringing. And they led very respectable lives for the most part. If we look at our country today and we look back to, let's say, the 1980s to the present time, which president had leadership qualities that we would look up to? We all remember the 9/11 incident, where the two planes that crashed into the Twin Towers, and where the plane that crashed into the Pentagon and the one that crashed in Pennsylvania in a field, where more than 3,000 people lost their lives. Our country rallied around the president at that time, and to help the country to deal with the 9/11 tragedy, which started the war on terror. But today we have a part of the country that wants to bring upon the country a progressive and socialist type government, and part of the country that wants to stay with the democracy and free enterprise system. My title this morning is What Makes a Great Leader? Leadership is defined as the office or position of a leader, quoting from Merriam-Webster's dictionary. Does God set up leaders? That's a question that many ask every day. Let's turn over to Hosea chapter 8, and we read verse 1 through 4. Hosea chapter 8, and we read verse 1 through 4. Hosea chapter 8, verse 1 through 4. Verse 1, set the trumpets to your mouth He shall come like an eagle against the house of the Lord, because they have transgressed my covenant and rebelled against my law. Israel will cry to me, my God, we know you. Israel has rejected the good. The enemy will pursue him. Verse 4, they set up kings, but not by me. They made princes, but I did not acknowledge them. From their silver and gold, they made idols for themselves, that they might be cut off. And we'll move over to Ezra chapter 1, verse 1 through 4, a familiar scripture. Speaking of Cyrus, the king that God asked to build a temple for him, Ezra. Ezra chapter 1, verse 4. Give me a couple of minutes. I have a little problem here. Ezra. here we are. Ezra chapter 1, verse 1 through 4. Now, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, so that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and also put it in writing, saying, thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth and the Lord God of heaven has given me, and he has commanded me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is among you of all his people? May his God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord of Israel. He is God, which is in Jerusalem. And whoever, verse 4, is left in any place where he dwells, let the men of this place help him with silver, gold, with goods, livestock, besides the freewill offering for the house of God, which is in Jerusalem. Here we have two different examples. One where God told the king to build him a house. Another where Israel did not consult God to appoint their leaders. How important is leadership? Let's look at Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 2. Proverbs 29 and verse 2. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 2. Verse 2, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when a wicked man rules, the people groan. It's much easier to work under someone that is kind and gentle as a boss or as a leader. God outlines how a family should be organized as a chain of command type of government. As we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1 to 3, an example of what type of government or leadership leadership for a family. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1 through 3. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1 through 3. Here, we are told to imitate, where Paul told the Corinthians to imitate me, just as I also imitate Christ. Verse 2. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the tradition just as I delivered them to you. But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ. The head of a woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. And let's move over to Ephesians chapter 5 and reread verse 21 to 23. We get more on a chain of command. Ephesians 5, verse 21 through 23. Verse 21. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. Wives, submit to your own husband as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Here's a couple of quotes about leadership. If your actions inspire others to dream more, learn more, do more, and become more, you are a leader. A quote from John Quincy Adams. Leaders are made. They are not born. They are made by hard effort, which is the price which all of us must pay to achieve any goal that is worthwhile. A quote from Vince Lombardi, a football coach that many of you longtime people will probably identify. One of the best ways to be a great leader is through role playing by effective leaders. This takes us to the heart of the matter. As the Bible says in Matthew 7 and verse 16, you will know them by their fruits. Let's take a notice or look at some characteristics of great leaders. A, vision and goals. The most important task of any leader is to gain vision and to provide that vision to his followers. From this vision flows the goals of the leader and the group. An example of that is President Ronald Reagan. He was a master at projecting a vision for his fellow Americans. He was so adept at expounding his ideas for the country that the political opponents found warning by the electorate. They could not supplant his well-delivered imagery with a satisfactory alternate. This leadership helped President Reagan listeners share his vision and hard work, moral living, and personal responsibility. Reagan's goals flowed from his hopeful vision. Many of you have heard of the saying, if you don't know where you're going, you'll probably wind up somewhere or somewhere else. Vision shows us purpose for living, and a goal gives direction to that vision. Together, they show up an optimistic belief in the future. B, ethics and credibility. A leader's actions are governed by his ethics, but a leader's credibility depends on how he is viewed by the people he leads. Niccolo Machiavelli, the 16th century philosopher, advised that leaders should, when necessary, resort to lies, hypocrisy, to accomplish their aims. Quoting from a book titled On Leadership by John Gardner. But history reveals that that is not a good approach, and it is a poor substitute for good leadership. Good leaders must show themselves ethical in their words, action, if they are to develop trust and credibility in their followers. Human beings, and we experience it every day, have a habit of being, shading the truth, spinning the truth, or coloring the facts, or adding information that's misleading. The Apostle Peter said that Jesus was without guile and deception. Let's read that in 1 Peter 2 and verse 22. 1 Peter 2 and verse 22. Speaking of Jesus Christ, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. The next point, point C, respect and the ability to teach leadership are qualities that people expect from a great leader. Respect for a leader motivates his citizens to action. Great leaders effectively teach and can help others develop leadership. Winston Churchill was respected by his countrymen during the critical years of World War II. Had he not earned their respect, they would not have followed him. Churchill was not one to be intimidated. As we see in our society today, many of our leaders are intimidated by others. His dominant qualities were courage. He seemed never to lack faith and imagination. He possessed a powerful, original, and fertile intellect. He was intensely loyal and worthy, and exhibited a kind nature with a playful humor. The British people knew his past, his bulldog persistence, his fearless combat, hopeful speeches. These created a readiness in them and a willingness to follow his lead in their darkest days. Those who are wise in their leadership often become models for later leaders. One that comes to mind is George Washington, who is known as the father of our country. Abraham Lincoln became an American symbol of equality and justice. Churchill's spirited nature symbolized a persistent English outlook. Gandhi, Martin Luther King Jr., and the French president Charles de Gaulle and Einstein are all icons among their constituents. Considering great leaders of the past, the question remains, whatever happened to leadership of days gone by? What kind of leadership can we look forward to in the future? Consider several important questions. What is real leadership? Does God view leadership different than most people do? How does he define leadership? And how can we apply it? Some leaders who take leadership positions assume, since they occupy that position, they automatically exhibit leadership qualities. But as experience will tell you, that's not the case. A leader is generally defined as someone who is over a country, organization, or group of people. The quality of leadership concerns how the leader acts toward others that he is leading. If a leader evaluate himself or views himself as being elevated above others, and that the people that he is leading are beneath him, he is unlikely to be a good leader. His perspective erodes the respect others have of him. And we can see that in our society today in some of the states where that are under the lockdown, how their mayors or governors are breaking their own rules. So people are losing respect for them. While a leader may think that everything is fine, others secretly lament his or her approach towards them. As Proverbs 29 and verse 2 tells us, I read that earlier, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked man rules, the people groan. I'll recite some personal examples. In my 50-plus years of work in the workforce, I've had good supervisors, but I've had bad supervisors. I've had supervisors who had poor people skills, who yell and scream. I have others that were moody. They would come in one morning one way, and next morning they are mad with the world. And I've had a few good supervisors who were respectful, who talk in a way that was respectful and not like we are talking to children. But the problems that I've encountered with different supervisors, I always try to go and find out what's the problem. Why are you treating me this way? But, you know, they gain my respect, and I gain their respect. Many people falsely equate their position as leaders as being automatically smarter than or better than those that they are leading. Real leadership, the kind that the Bible says God wants to see, is rare and it is very precious. Jesus Christ defined for his disciples the perfect principle leadership that really counts. Before their conversion, the disciples were jockeying for the most coveted position. Jesus Christ, in response, revealed to them the real meaning of true leadership. In Matthew 20, verse 25 through 28, Matthew chapter 20, verse 25 through 28, Matthew chapter 20, verse 25 through 28. Verse 25. Here Jesus is addressing the disciples. Jesus called them to himself and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant." Verse 27. "Yet it shall not, and whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom to many." God's view or perspective on leadership is quite different than ours, as we see in Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9. Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9. Isaiah 55, verse 8. Here God tells us, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Another leadership principle that Jesus Christ taught is that every individual is important to a good leader, just as that individual is important to God. Let's look at the example in Matthew 18, verse 12 through 14. Matthew 18, verse 12 through 14. Matthew 18, verse 12 through 14. Verse 12. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 and go to the mountains to seek the one that is straying? And if he should find it, surely I say to you, he rejoices more over that sheep than over the 99 that did not go astray. Verse 14. Even so, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. A leader displays good leadership when he is willing to go back and restore a person who went astray rather than write that individual off. Another great example of real leadership took place as Jesus was dying, experiencing great pain and aware of his imminent death. Jesus Christ said in Luke 23, verse 34. Luke 23 and verse 34. Luke chapter 23 and verse 34. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Jesus Christ did not seek vengeance, or he didn't seek to get even. And it was not a part of his thinking. We as human beings, we at times seek revenge when someone does us wrong. And you've heard the phrase that, I'll forgive, but I never forget. So we have to be willing to forgive and forget. A good leader will reach beyond his physical needs to help others, even if they don't love him or have a hateful attitude towards him. This is why God the Father extolled Jesus Christ, supreme example of leadership. Our attitude should be the same as the attitude of Jesus Christ. Let's look at Philippians 2 and we read verse 6 through 11. Philippians 2, verse 6 through 11. Verse 6. Speaking of Jesus Christ, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death of the cross. Verse 9. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow to of those in heaven, those on earth, and those under the earth. Verse 11. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. This is an attitude of a servant, of a true servant leader, one who is willing to surrender all so that others might reach their ultimate God-given potential. We can look forward to one day when everyone will experience this kind, humble, serving leadership when Christ established his kingdom here on earth. I have four characteristics of a leader, of a true leader, commenting from an article written by Mr. Gerald Oss, titled, What Identifies a True Leader? Number one, true leaders begin, or true leadership begins with humility. Humility is the key to divine knowledge, spiritual understanding, and godly wisdom. If you don't have humility, it's difficult to be taught anything. If one is not teachable, he or she cannot learn and grow. Godly wisdom, riches, and honor begin with humility towards our Creator, Sustainer, and Savior. Only a humble person can be taught the words of God and then be able to share them with others. Point two, true leaders are inclusive. This is in accordance with God's creation of all people in His image and His intent to save everyone who does not reject Him. If the inclusive leader sees some who are shy or passive, he tries to bring them into the group and encourage them to share themselves with others. The third point, true leaders serve others. God intends all true leaders to serve others and not to seek to serve themselves. Jesus said he came to serve, not to be served. And we are followers of his example. Let's look at that in Luke 22 and verse 27. Luke chapter 22 and verse 27. Luke chapter 22 and verse 27. For who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves? Is it not he who sits at the table? Yet I am among you as one who serves. All who understand God's purpose for humankind know that serving others is the true road to spiritual and everlasting success. God will ultimately raise human beings who unconditionally and faithfully serve others to his level of existence forever. An effective leader understands and appreciates the need to sacrifice and serve others. He or she is focused on helping others more than helping themselves. Jesus Christ emphasized sacrificing for and serving others in Matthew 18 and verse 1 through 4. Matthew chapter 18, verse 1 through 4. Matthew chapter 18, verse 1 through 4. Verse 1, at that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Then Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them and said, assuredly I say unto you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter into the kingdom of heaven. Verse 4. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Holman Study Bible comments on verse 1 of Matthew 18. The disciples desired to be the greatest in the kingdom, displayed a pride that was inconsistent with genuine discipleship. The book of Proverbs confirms the relationship between leaders and leadership. In Proverbs 15 and verse 33, before honor is humility. The fourth point is true leaders emulate great leaders. True leaders are made, they are not born. True and great leaders follow the greatest of all leaders ever born, Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, the Son of God the Father. He led the way in loving others and laying down his life for them, as he expects us to also. In John 15 and verse 12 through 14, John chapter 15, verse 12 through 14. John 15, verse 12 through 14. Verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. This is where all of us who call of God must spend time in prayer and Bible study daily. It's important to maintain that relationship with God, to learn how to be true leaders, or how to be or exercise leadership in a group or in a family. True leadership is only available through the study of God's Word. God the Father has promised that Jesus Christ will return to set up his kingdom with peace and prosperity. And we pray that God's will be done on earth. Another prophecy that talks about the coming kingdom of God and God's will being carried out here on earth is found in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. A familiar scripture that is read during the Feast of Tabernacles. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. Verse 6. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David, over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment, justice, from that time forward, even and forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Jesus Christ will establish his peace on earth in justice and righteousness. Godly justice comes only from God's commandments. Christ's leadership will be based on God's commandments, which will bring about a permanent peace. Let's look at Matthew chapter 5 and verse 17 to 19. Matthew chapter 5 part of the Beatitudes. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17 and 19, or through 19. Verse 17, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For surely I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled." Verse 19, "Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teach men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." Without God's commands or God's laws, there can be no real peace or leadership. When Christ returns, he will first dispatch all human oppressors who will gather to fight against him at Jerusalem. He will then remove Satan and the demons by binding them for 1,000 years. You can read that in Revelation 20, verse 1 to 3. The prophet Isaiah describes Jesus Christ's leadership for us at that time. Let's turn over to Isaiah chapter 11. We read verse 2 through 5. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2 through 5. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2 through 5. "The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord." There is not much rest in the world today. There's a lot of suffering in our world. With the COVID-19 crisis, which has brought a lot of suffering on many in our country. Well, let's turn over to Matthew 8:11, verse 28 to 30, which offers us help to look to the Creator of the universe for the help that we need in these difficult times. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. Verse 28. Here Jesus Christ says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus Christ will rule with wisdom, understanding, a spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge, and the fear of the Lord, and having the ability to solve problems as we will have the ability to solve problems along with Jesus Christ. Let's go back to Isaiah 11 and Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 3. "His delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked." Verse 5. "Righteousness shall be the belt of his loin, and faithfulness the belt of his waist." And verse 4, where it states that God, the God of righteousness, In Psalms 119, 172, it says, all God's commandments are righteous. This is God's promise of a world finally under the right leadership. Jesus Christ illustrated that kind of true leadership. He taught people the solid foundation of God's laws, which would help them avoid suffering and pain. He encouraged them to surrender to God in heartfelt repentance, no longer to live only for their selfish desires. He exemplified what it means to dedicate one life to serving others. He also brought a message of a transformed world to come, an earth amazingly changed by the arrival of the kingdom of God. This kingdom, he said, would come at the climax of a series of earth-shattering events, during which all human life would be in turmoil or peril. Let's look at that in Matthew 24, verse 21 through and 22. Matthew 24, verse 21 and 22. Verse 21 of Matthew 24. For then there will be great tribulation, such as not since the beginning of the world until this time, nor shall ever be. Verse 22. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. This kingdom is destined to replace all human kingdoms, government and authority. In this kingdom, Jesus Christ will reign forever as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But he will not do it alone. Others will reign with him in his kingdom. Let's turn to Revelation 20. We read verse 4 and verse 6. Revelation chapter 20, verse 4 through 6. Verse 4 and 6. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who were beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Verse 6. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Jesus Christ will be joined by God's faithful servants, men and women who have dedicated themselves to learning and practice God's godly rulership as defined and exemplified by Christ, Jesus Christ's example. Resurrected to eternal life, they will help administer God's righteous government in paradise on earth and service to mankind. God is well aware of our weaknesses and our infirmities, regardless of what lot we have in life. He knows we have all sinned, as Romans 3 and verse 23 tells us. But he extends the power of forgiveness to transform our lives and minds, as Romans 12 and verse 2 tells us. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Romans 12 and verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If we are willing to make the commitment, he invites us to share in true rulership in his kingdom. Quoting from Hellman's Study Bible and commenting on verse 2 of Romans 12, it states that Christians are to be different from a non-Christian society. We should experience a progressive transformation of life by the renewing of our minds. The mind is changed by prayer, by reading, by reflecting on God's word, by worship, and by meditation. So how does Jesus Christ's leadership apply to us today? There is no better time to compare the current political campaigns, the presidential promises, to real leadership principles. We cannot change the modern political leadership with its guarantee for disappointment, despite their promises, as their promises are filled with disappointments. We can change ourselves to become better leaders. God invites us to surrender our lives now. Let's turn over to Luke chapter 14 and verse 26. Luke chapter 14 and verse 26 and 27. Luke 14, verse 26 and 27. Verse 26. If anyone comes to me and does not hate or love less his father and mother and wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Verse 27. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me, he cannot be my disciple. So we can be a part of a very different kind of leadership promised to this leadership that is promised to this world. Let's turn to Revelation 3. And verse 21. Let me rephrase that. Along with our way of doing things, we can be a part of a very different kind of leadership promised to the world. Let's turn to Revelation 3 and verse 21. Revelation 3 and verse 21. Here we are told, to him who overcomes, and I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. At Christ's return, those who have truly surrendered their lives to him and remain faithful will teach all nations a new way of thinking that begins with a service-oriented change of heart based on God's spiritual laws. As I conclude, four characteristics of a true leader. True leaders begin with humility. True leaders are inclusive. True leaders serve others. And true leaders emulate great leaders. Will we accept his invitation to become true leaders, that is God? The reward for doing so is beyond our wildest imagination. Hope everyone have a great remainder of the Sabbath.